I want to invite you today to take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah this morning. And we begin a series this morning on Nehemiah, and many of you, I encouraged you, if you were here Wednesday night, I encouraged you to go ahead and begin reading that. Some of you have come up to me and told me that you've already just went ahead and just read the whole book. And there's really some parts in there that are really exciting. And then there's some that's not so exciting as you find out how many people from each different group was building and all of this type stuff. Nehemiah is really a unique book in this respect, that in original Hebrew manuscripts that exist, both Ezra and Nehemiah combined to make one book. Over the years, it was separated out from Ezra to Nehemiah, and a lot of different things have been preached on Nehemiah and said about Nehemiah. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, and verse 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's already been a good day. Amen. I tell you what, I love to see people be baptized, and it's just, I love to be able to baptize them. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1 reads this: "The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chesleev that in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'The remnant there is in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.' When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before God of heaven. I said, 'I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and the loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, "If you are faithful, I will scatter you, or if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer of the king." Father God, this morning I pray in the next few moments that we have together as a church, Lord, as we look at your words that are found in this text. Father God, I pray now that your hand begin to touch hearts in this place, even now. Father God, I pray that in the next few moments we have together, that your Spirit dominate this place, that, Lord, we are able to put aside what we're going to do after this service, what we're going to do this afternoon, tomorrow, next week. God, I pray we're able to focus on what Your Word says now. I pray, God, to see lives changed in this moment. I pray, God, for those possibly today who do not know You as Lord and Savior, that, God, today is the day that they turn to You. For the one possibly, Lord, that's sitting in this auditorium today who has confessed You as Lord and Savior, but for whatever reason in the last years, months, weeks, their life has not shown that they're living for You. I pray through this time that, God, they would come back to You today. Father, may we see this for Your honor and Your glory today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Odds are this morning you have never heard the name Sir Digby St. John Filigree Grisham. What a name. In the 50 years that he has served in his career, he has traveled all over the world. He has met many heads of state, many presidents, and sampled some of the finest cuisine that this world has to offer today. You would think that he himself was a president or a head of state or some well-known politician. However, for the past 50 years, this man has been the food taster for Queen Elizabeth. During his service, however, he has chalked up 19 bouts of salmonella poisoning, 52 episodes of gastritis, all to keep the queen healthy. I don't know if I want that job or not. However, on September the 2nd of 2011, his job and his life came to an end as he sampled that fateful morning a mushroom omelet prepared for the queen. One of the mushrooms was highly toxic, and he died right there. Over the years, food tasters have been in all types of situations. Even the daughter of Pope Alexander VI, somehow or another, she made it past the food tasters of her own father and poisoned the meal that took his life years ago. Food tasters have been parts and heads of state, very prestigious position to be in, some would think. This is a position that is one of power. You think about it, if the person who samples your food before you eat it to see if they're going to die or not, you might listen to what they have to say every once in a while. Amen? A food taster. It sounds like a lowly position, but it is a very powerful, prominent position. It's one that a lot of people revere, others detest. Sir Grisham was the 21st century's version of a food taster. However, the Word of God, and throughout history we see this, the Word of God is very clear right here in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11. That was Nehemiah's job. The Bible tells us clearly there, he says, Nehemiah says of himself, that I was a cupbearer to the king, a food taster, if you will. That's what his job was. That's what he did. As we see this particular part right here, and as we begin to read into Nehemiah, Oftentimes, many things come up in your mind and in your heart, and maybe you've sat through them. What in the world can somebody preach outside of something dealing with building when it comes to the book of Nehemiah? Because as we read, and many of you have read this week, Nehemiah is dealing with rebuilding the wall of the city. That's what it's talking about. However, I'd like for us to take a different angle at the book of Nehemiah. See, for years, I've preached it right here in this auditorium, have preached on the book of Nehemiah and have taken the angle of preaching about building a building, going through a building program, all that type stuff. However, I'd like for this time that we go through this series, let's talk about this. Let's talk about building a person. Let's talk about building the believer today. Let's talk about building the believer that you and I ought to be this morning. Are we what we say we are? Are we truly doing what we ought to do when it comes to being a believer and being a Christian when we leave this place today? Are we truly doing that? I pray that you are. As we see this, let's take and see some of the examples that Nehemiah lays out for us right here that you and I ought to have in our life. The Bible tells us clearly here that Nehemiah, look at verse 4 with me for just a moment. The Bible tells us clearly right here that one of the first things that Nehemiah did. Well, let me pause for just a moment. When we go through this particular passage or this particular series, we'll be looking at the man Nehemiah. But you will find out very quickly that even though he was in a prestigious position, part of the king's court, that in reality, Nehemiah was an ordinary man. I mean, let's face it, he got up in the morning before the king ever took a bite of his breakfast. He's the one that took the first bite. He's the one that took the first swallow of the water. He's the one at lunch or dinner. He's the one that sat there and took the first bite, the first swallow. He's the one that evening, whenever he ate his evening meal, he did the same thing. Very prestigious position, but he was just a man. And we will begin to see that as we go throughout this particular series, you'll begin to see that the actions of Nehemiah were just ordinary actions. All it was. But you will see through the results of this ordinary man and his ordinary actions, you will see inordinate results. They are not ordinary. The things that are accomplished in and through this man are not ordinary. How did he get to that point? What are some of the examples we can find here in the Word of God? What type of person does it take to get to that point? What did Nehemiah do? Well, here's what he did. The first thing that he did was this. Nehemiah in verse 4 tells us very clearly right there that Nehemiah fasted. Uh-oh. He did. Look what the Word of God says. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept, mourned for days, and I was fasting, the Bible says. After his brother had brought the news, hey, the town, the walls are in ruin, the gates are burning, everything is, the people are in distress. The Bible says that Nehemiah, the first thing he did is he sat down and he began to cry. But then the Bible says that he began to fast. Woo, we don't know much about that. The first thing that we think about when we hear this is food. But did you realize that throughout the Word of God, there was all types of examples, and especially in the Old Testament, Moses and David and Elijah and Daniel, all of these were men that fasted. What is fasting? What is fasting? And it is dealing with food. It did in the Old Testament, these men that I just give you. It's been a while since I've been on a food fast. I need to be on one. It is, if you want to write this down, this is paraphrased here, it is depriving oneself for the betterment of a divine relationship. Denying oneself to the betterment of a divine relationship. The Bible says right here, and listen to me, some of the things that's most precious to you and I this morning, think about it for just a moment. The things that are most precious to us, let's boil it down. The things that are most precious, the things that we need the most are what? Food, water. That's it. Food, water. These people, whenever you read that they fasted, a food fast, I mean, they really give something up that was precious. Hey, let's face it, they didn't get out this after church, when they got out of church, and drive to the restaurant like some of us are going to do here today. Drive to the restaurant, order a steak or whatever may be on the menu there, or go back to the house and sit down at the table and see and eat whatever's been prepared for us there. They didn't do that. Man, they had just enough to get by. The Bible says that that's what they did. But here, let's flash forward now to the 21st century, if you may, with me. Well, when it comes to food fast, you know, I don't know, preacher boy, I don't know if I can do that. All right, hey. Remember now, it is denying oneself for the betterment of a divine relationship. In other words, denying yourself of something to spend time with God. That's what it is. Bottom line. When is the last time that you have taken time out of your schedule, your day, and possibly what something that you do on a regular basis, say for instance, television. And you cut the television off and spend an hour reading God's Word and meditating over God's Word, communicating with Him for the betterment of a divine relationship. That's a fast, isn't it? Denying one's self. The Bible says right here that the first things that Nehemiah did after his brother had brought that message to him that the city is in ruins, the gates are burning, the people are in distress, it's mass chaos. After he heard those words, the Bible says that his heart melted to the point that he began to cry, and then he began to fast. Why? I tell you why. Because he begins to long for God's will in his life. That's what he's doing. He's longing for God's will in his life. This ordinary man who just happens to be the cupbearer in the king's court, he begins to cry and he begins to weep. He begins to fast. He denies himself of what he may need, in this case food. He denies himself of that so that he may now grow in relationship with his heavenly Father. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time I've done that? When's the last time we've done that as a church? When is the last time we've stopped and said, oh, by the way, we're just going to pause now. We're going to deny ourselves and we're going to pray. We're going to set aside this hour each and every day and we're going to pray that God's Spirit fall in this place, that God's will is done in this place, and we as a church, we're going to spend this hour and every day, every one of us, we're going to be on our knees crying out to God, denying ourselves and looking to Him for leadership in everything that we do around here. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time a lot of believers in this country's done that? When's the last time that you and I have sat back and looked at the landscape of the country in which we live in and see the total devastation, the total immorality, and looked around and it literally brought a tear to your eye? My gracious, this young got to where you can't even turn on the television at the house now without hearing bleeps every other 3 seconds. For the foul language that's on the television. It's unreal. When is the last time It has broken your heart like it did Nehemiah's. And if it breaks your heart, and if it breaks my heart, it ought to drive us to the point then of realizing, number one, we can't do this by ourselves. We can't handle this. Okay, God, I realize I can't handle it. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny myself. And this evening, I'm going to cut the television off for an hour. Program I normally watch, I'm going to cut it off. Time I'd spend on a computer, I'm going to cut it off. Maybe you'd be to the point of even this meal tonight, God, I'm going to set it aside. Lord, I'm going to spend that hour in prayer to you. And God, I want your leadership in my life. I want to know what it is. What does it mean? For the believer, fasting is turning one's attention from physical desires or needs and turning to a total focus on God. Listen to what J.I. Packer once wrote about this. He wrote, and I quote, "We tend to think of fasting as going without food, but we can fast from anything," he says. "If we love music and decide to miss a concert in order to spend time with God, that is fasting. It is helpful to think of the parallel of human friendship. When friends need to be together, they will cancel all other activities in order to make that appointment possible. There's nothing magical about fasting. It's just one way of telling God that your priority at that moment is to be alone with Him, sorting out whatever is necessary. And you have canceled the meal, the party, the concert, or whatever else you had planned in order to fulfill that priority." End quote. Wow. You see, basically what it is, it's putting God first. That's what it is. It's putting God first in your life. So the first thing that we see that Nehemiah did is that he fasted. But notice this. The Bible goes on and tells us this, that secondly, Nehemiah prayed. Oh, he prayed. He's set aside and he's fasted. He's wept. He's fasted. And now he begins to pray. Oh, and if you read this man's prayer, you'll see in just a moment what he's doing. Oh, he begins to pray. When's the last time that you have honestly just prayed and communicated with God? When's the last time? Y'all know how it is. Let's just call it like it is this morning. Man, I mean, we come to God with the grocery list of wants, desires, and needs, don't we? We do. Well, God, I need this. Well, God, so-and-so in my family needs this. And God, we need that. And God, we need this. And God, we need that. When's the last time you just stopped and said, "God, thank you for saving me, the filthy, wretched sinner that I am"? When's the last time you prayed that? When's the last time I've prayed that? "Thank you, God, for just sending your son to die for me. God, I don't want nothing. Just want to talk." When's the last time you've really begun to confess and you took out the grocery list, and it's not just a list of your wants and desires. Hey, it's a list of the sin that's in your life. And you've begun to cry that out to God and say, "God, oh God, I know this breaks your heart. Oh God, I know this is just ravaging your heart. And now God, I just pray today that you forgive me of that." When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time we've been concerned of what God thinks about us? Not just what He thinks about us, but what He knows about us. Sitting in this place here today, listen to me, friend. Sitting in this place here today, oh, I don't care. Listen, I don't care what facade we're putting up in this place here today. God sees through that and past that to who you and I really are today. When's the last time we've just prayed? Notice how this man prays. You may want to write these down. We see, first of all, Nehemiah fasted. Secondly, we see he prayed. Now, this is how he prayed. Nehemiah comes to God in humility. He comes to God in humility. That's verses 5 through 7. I'm not going to read those verses to you. You can go back and read those later. If you want to write this down, I encourage you to write this down. He comes to God in humility. Hey, guys, listen to me. We ought to pray to God in the most humble state that we can get in. I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about mental. I'm talking about everything. Totally humbled. Somebody come up to me. Oh, it's been first part of last week. I don't have it with me. In fact, it's at the house. I have a phone that is smarter than I am. I guess that's why they call them smartphones. Well, somebody showed me an app. They had an app for this. It is a star locator on the phone. If you know the name of a star, constellation, only thing you have to do is just type it in there and hit enter, and it will begin to show you on the screen of that phone which direction you need to look in the sky to locate that star or that constellation. It just blew me away. It don't take much to do that either. Some of you sitting in there, well, I've had that app for 5 years. It's just amazing to me. And I begin to look at this thing. It don't take much to fascinate me. I begin to look at this thing and notice on there. As you look up in the sky, I mean, it'll even tell you the stars that's actually under you on the other side of the place. Never mind. I begin to look at this, and they are just names and numbers and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of names and numbers that are just clustered on the screen of that phone every time you look at it. And you know what hit me when I was looking at that? It is my God who spoke words, and every bit of that come into being. There it is. Hey, man, it ought to drive us to our knees. And when we come into God's presence, we ought to come into God's presence in the most humble state of mind and being that we can be in, and remember who we're praying to, the one who spoke words, and everything that you and I see in the heavens and here on earth came into being. My gracious, it ought to bring us to the most humble state in our mind, just like Nehemiah was. The Bible tells us clearly here, this man, as he began to pray, he was in one of the most humble states that anybody could be in. He is so humbled. But friends, what do? We come into God's presence and we pray expecting Him to do something. It is as if we are placing an order at a restaurant expecting Him to do that. God help us when we get like that. We ought to just come before Him realizing who we are in His sight. And listen to this. I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble this morning, but listen, God flat sure don't need any of us today. Oh, but my gracious, today do we need Him this morning. Oh, my gracious, I can't take my next breath without Him in my life. I can't walk outside this place here today without God holding my hand today. Oh, my gracious, may we live and pray in a humble state of mind. Woo, I feel better now. Goodness gracious, guys, listen to this. Not only did he come to God in a humble state of mind, but Nehemiah secondly comes to God looking to God's promises. God's made a lot of promises to you and I. When's the last time you've prayed those promises? Bible says clearly, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there with you. The peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Every one of your needs will be met according to His riches in glory today. When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed that? Prayed those promises. Prayed those promises in a humble state of mind, humble posture, and got up off your knees knowing it's done. Got up off your knees and just walked off and give it to God and said, God, it's yours. You handle it. I know you've given me the promises that you're going to handle this. This fight's not mine. This battle's not mine. God, it's yours. It's in your hands. Lord, you handle it. I'm going on living and praising you. And God, I am going to let you handle. When's the last time you've done that? I got to confess to y'all this morning. Hey, it's real easy to get up. And once you've prayed all of that, take it with you, ain't it? Whew. Have you prayed about it? Oh, yeah, I've prayed about it. Yes, I have prayed about it. You know what we ought to ask? We ask people that. Have you prayed about it? We ought not to ask them, have you prayed about it? We should ask them this, have you left it with God? Have you left it with God? Now, see, God promises us things in His Word. He promises us things. Nehemiah began to cry out and pray to God and pray for God's promises to fall in his life. But notice there's a third thing here when he prayed. Nehemiah prays with a heart ready to do something. Found in verse 11 there. When's the last time you've done anything for God? You say, well, I'm here this morning, ain't I? Well, no. This is a worship service. I'm talking about truly doing something for God. When's the last time? Nehemiah had a massive, monumental task before him. He knew what he had to do. He knew that. God was beginning to develop that in his heart and his mind. He knew, you'll see, if you've read on, you see, and it's just a monumental undertaking that he did. But he was willing to do something. This morning, before Sunday school, myself and the deacons, we meet in my office every Sunday morning before Sunday school. We pray. I prayed this morning. As I lead these men in prayer there, we pray for many of you, lift you up and pray for all different aspects of the church. I remember praying this morning very clearly, though. Dear God, we pray that your will be done in our life. Now, wait a minute. Then I followed that up by saying this. Now, God, sometimes we don't agree or understand your will. But, God, we must realize that is what's best for us today. You ever prayed something and God revealed to you something that you need to do and you just flat out say, I ain't gonna do it? I've done it. Y'all heard my testimony before. I stood in my front yard house in the driveway. I stood in the driveway, looked up to heaven above, and said, God, I ain't going into the ministry. Ain't like that. I learned real quick, it's better to go on and do what God wants done. Follow His will. And pray with a willingness to do something. That's what Nehemiah did. But if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, this is what I want you to hear. Notice that we see here that Nehemiah prayed, that Nehemiah fasted. But the last thing that we see is that Nehemiah confessed. That's what he did. Now, if you read through this chapter, you'll notice that Nehemiah confesses of himself and the entire nation of Israel. I want, if I could this morning, listen, I'd like for you to do this morning. Focus on you. Don't worry about the person sitting in front of you, beside you, or behind you. Don't worry about the person that may not be here this morning, that may be somewhere else. Don't worry about them. This is what I want to ask you to do this morning. I want to ask you right now in this moment. See, Nehemiah confessed of himself and he said very clearly that I and the house of Israel have sinned against you, God. That's what he said. In a crowd this size, there may be someone sitting in here today who can literally say that today, this past week, month, whatever, that God, I too have sinned against you. This is part of his prayer. Here in chapter 1. This is what I'd like to ask you to do today. To begin to build a believer. Say, well, I'm already a believer. Praise God. To continue to build the believer's life. This is what I want to ask you to do this morning. Here in just a few moments, Brother Alan Singley will be down here. I'll be down here. You don't have to come to us. You don't have to. But this morning, if there is something that has run through your heart and your mind, and you realize today that in this moment, today is the day I need to confess that. Today is the day I need to confess that, ask for God's forgiveness, and turn from that. This is what I'll ask you to do. When we get up here in just a few moments, or whenever I call us to prayer, you can come then. I want to ask you to come down here to this altar. You want a minister to pray with you? We got a minister will be more than happy. I'll pray with you. Brother Alan Singley will pray with you. We will be more than happy to do that. But today, if you just want to come here to this altar, get on your knees and pray, confess to God. That's who you need to confess to, not to me. I can't do anything about it. I can't forgive you. God can today come to this altar. Get on your knees. It may not be because the walls have fell that tears run down the faces, but it ought to be for the sin that's in one's life that tears run down the face. As Nehemiah wept, we too ought to weep today. Father God, I pray in this moment now for God, whoever those people may be. It may be one, maybe 50, Lord. I don't know. I just pray for whoever they are right now in this moment. Wherever they're at in this room, that God, even now, that Lord, they would put aside the fear, put aside the anxieties, whatever they're feeling now, Lord, they even now begin to make their way to this altar to pray. Maybe when the music begins, they come. Maybe when the singing starts, they come. I pray today, God, that whenever we leave this place, that we will begin to build our relationship with you as Nehemiah did years ago, as he began the effort looking to God for leadership. Looking to you and praying to you, confessing to you. God, that's where it starts for us today. That is at the very foundation of the Christian life. I pray it begin with us today. Father, I pray now in this moment that, Lord Jesus, we see fruit come forth, not for our glory, but, Lord, for yours today. For it's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Allen.
Stand together as we sing.